what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like.
I can't keep quiet.
This is what democracy looks like.
For anyone. No, not anymore. 'Cause no one knows me, no one ever will. If I don't say something, take that dry blue pill, they may see a monster, they may run away, but I have to do this. I can't keep quiet.
Anyone feel as though they have PTSD yet? This is Kelly the Voice with Cave Voice, a voice of resistance, coming at you on the Crab Diving Network as another voice to discuss resistance in all its forms. Resistance is alive in America. Let's figure it out together. You can find this show as well as other great programming on the Crab Diving Network. That's Crab Diving, one word, www.crabdiving.com. Or you can find this show as a podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever or whenever is your pleasure. The song you were just listening to has become the anthem of the Women's March. It's called Quiet by Milk. The artist wrote the song to help speak out about her abuse and sexual assault. She Skyped with women across America, and together they met for the first time at the Women's March and sang that song. The recording you heard was from Samantha Bee's show. At the end of the show, I'm going to play for you the whole song. Trust me, it's powerful. You're going to want to listen. For this show, you may want to have a pen or pencil handy, or at least have an excellent memory, because we're going to cover a lot of stuff. The Trump administration is moving crazy fast, and so must we. I'm here to discuss aspects of this whiplash political climate and to help us find some direction, tools, and sanity, as well as ways to not burn out, and importantly, try to get clear on what this shock and awe form of government is really doing. At the end of the show, I am going to sound off on a list of things that we, the people, in our small and large forms of activism, have accomplished to put to rest any doubts as to whether or not we are having any effect. But first, have you called your senator today? One of the easiest ways to make our representatives or members of Congress listen to us is to call them. We should call them, and we should call them often. You're not going to talk to them. It's going to be an aide, but they listen. They take note. If you don't know who your senator is even, it doesn't matter. All you have to do is dial 202-225-3121. That number is going to lead you to an operator. You give them your zip code, and then they direct you to your representative. Again, that number is 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. Another way you can get in touch with who you need to get in touch with easily is if you text the word daily, D-A-I-L-Y, to the number 228-466. That's text the word daily to the number 228-466. One more time, that's 228-466 or action. After entering your zip code, you'll receive text message every workday about the issue that they have determined to be the most urgent based on where you live. If you decide to take action, you'll listen to a short recorded explanation of the issue, and then from there, you'll be routed to your senator, member of Congress, or other relevant official where you can weigh in on the issue at hand. It makes things really easy. Feel like sitting back and watching a movie? I've got an option for you too. Check out Noam Chomsky's Requiem for the American Dream. It will help clarify what happened, who really are the bad guys, and what to look out for, and where we might want to head next. Noam Chomsky's a genius. It's on Netflix. We need to go into this educated and clear-headed, and we also need to do what we can so that, should we come out of all this intact, it never happens again. Besides, it's a great movie. It's a great watch. You'll have a great time. All right, it's a little depressing, but still, give it a shot. It's worth it. So I am doing what I can to curb my rage-fueled partisanship. I'm trying to look at how we got here a little more objectively. I'm attempting to focus my rage on the political players less than my fellow citizens. It's important to be clear that while we cast votes, the blame of what got us here is our governments and not the bro next door. We need to look critically at who benefits when we are fighting amongst ourselves and split along cultural divides. Quick answer, it's not us. It's not the people. There is a group that's taking a great angle on things and focusing a lot on all these ideas. It's a bit different than other groups I've seen, which tend to be a little bit more reactionary. I suggest you check out the Baseline Project. It's thebaselineproject.us. Their mission reads, "The Baseline Project believes that there is a baseline of shared humanity, shared values, and shared hopes for the future that all Americans hold in common. We are working to bridge the political and cultural divides that remind Americans of that shared humanity. We hope to create a diverse community of engaged Americans who work together to find solutions to the problems our nation currently faces. We believe the strength of our nation comes from the acceptance and empowerment of our diverse nation. We hope our political system can be improved to better hear and empower all American voices." If that sounds good to you, I highly suggest you check them out. They're just getting started, but I have a feeling they're going to do really great things. Michael Moore is another excellent resource. Like him on Facebook, follow him on Twitter. He lets you know when and where you need to take action. One of the things he suggests is making a rapid response action group so that when something comes up, like when the House voted to gut the ethics board, you can text or call each other that you need to call your representatives right away. Now, I hope I don't need to remind you that the House, literally days after the election, decided to have a secret meeting to gut the ethics board. Republicans of the House did that. Word got out that night and the phone started ringing. They started ringing so much that they filled up the switchboards. And you know what happened? The next day, even as Kellyanne Conway is on TV talking about why this is an okay and good thing, they're already starting to change their tune at the House. And by the end of the day, it was completely reversed. We did that. We had that power. And it was rapid response and phone calls. So keep that in mind. He also suggests that you join or create a daily action group. For example, you could join Fight Trump on Facebook. Daily Kos does a lot of really good stuff. Like I said, you text daily to action, and that'll give you daily action tips as well. But this keeps you engaged, and that way every day, at the very least, you feel like you are doing something to help stem the tide of this crazy government. God. Sorry, guys. Does anyone else feel like an abuse victim? Like you never know where the next hit is coming from? My phone never leaves my hand. I'm always buried in some new article or some news report is always consuming my attention. My family and my friends and articles actually have been telling me that I need to take a step back. Because this is a marathon. This isn't a sprint. What we're in danger of, if we stay inundated with this day in, day out, hour in, hour out, is that we're going to stop being outraged. That things are going to stop being a big deal. And that is worse than anything. The other night, I went to the movies. I saw Hidden Figures. It was fantastic. I highly recommend it. And it was inspiring. Reminded me that America really can do great things and can pull together for something good. Today I went for a hike with my dad. We are hikers. It's partially what keeps me sane. Since the election, we haven't had a lot of time. This is the worst time to give up things like that. And we need to prove to Donald Trump that he has not won. And that we can still be happy and do the things we love while still fighting him every step of the way. I suggest making something. Do something creative. I don't care if you are creative or not. write a terrible poem or write a great one. Never show it to anyone. I don't care. Draw a picture, even if you don't draw. Just do something. Something that makes you feel a little inspired. And don't make it about politics. Or heck, do make it about politics and then turn it into a new movement. Share it and try to enroll others into doing something too. Let's make resistance fun any way we can. Pick your causes. Now, they are assaulting everything we hold dear in this country, and there is no shortage of issues to fight for. But experts are saying to pick your causes. Find the 2 to 3 things that you care about most and focus on those. This isn't to say that you ignore all the other causes. But if you bombard your Facebook page and your Twitter feed with every single issue that's coming out, it becomes white noise. And it becomes worse yet. It becomes white noise to your ears, too. Because we can't fight everything. And I guarantee you, there are other people in the movement fighting for the things that you didn't pick as well. Somehow, we have to find a way to stay outraged. And pretty soon, real quick, this is going to become normal. And once it becomes normal, which is what they want, we're screwed. Once you pick your causes, mail postcards to your representative and your member of Congress and let them know what really matters to you. Be creative about it. This is a simple and easy thing you can do. And you know what? The more mail they get, the better. The more they hear from us, the better. If you're having trouble finding a couple causes that you really want to focus on, and if you're white, try to find a cause that benefits minorities, especially if there's a march going on in the area. If you're white, show up to that march. They could use our support, and it's about time more Caucasians start showing up for Black Lives Matter, don't you think?
The New Colossus by Emma Lazarus. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning and her name Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome, her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door.
So, here's the deal. The administration is deliberately testing the limits of governmental checks and balances to set up a self-serving, dangerous consolidation of power. The immigration ban is a head fake, and we're falling for it. By Jake Fuentes. I want to discuss this guy's article because I think it really outlined what's possibly going on here. And I think it's very important that we stay clear on the real story. So this immigration ban, which is about as un-American as you get, it's the intentional inclusion of green card holders in the immigration order, the DHS defiance of a federal judge, the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, their defiance of the federal judge, the timing of Trump's shakeup of the National Security Council could be a play to consolidate power, and it's going really well for them. This could be their playbook, and we need to be clear on that. They launch a series of executive orders in the first week. They choose the immigration ban, knowing that it will cause the most chaos and dominate the news cycle. The ban will be about 20% more extreme than they actually were planning to settle on by including green card holders and defining countries instead of visa holders to create confusion. 20% more? Why 20% more? In the art of the deal, Donald Trump even says, or at least his ghostwriter says, shoot for 20% more than you want, and then you can dial it back, which is exactly what they seem to have done. They made the ban for 20% more extreme than they actually were planning to settle on. They watched the opposition pour out into the streets and protesting the extremes as intended. The protests dominate the news, which is fine because their base doesn't watch the real news anyways. The ACLU will file motions to oppose the most extreme parts of the measure. That's actually going to be useful, too, in that they don't actually care if they win those cases. That's why they made it more extreme than they needed it to be. But in doing so, the lawsuit process will test the loyalty of those enforcing what they say. While the nation's attention is on their extreme executive order, they slip a few more nuanced moves through. For example, they reconfigure the National Security Council by putting Steve Bannon in. It is now led by their inner circle. A move that I can't stress enough for how frightening and dangerous it could be. The National Security Council are the folks that authorize secret assassinations against enemies of state, including American citizens. And they're the ones that make war decisions. They sit in that war room and they decide there in that room whether or not to bomb other nations. Now, all the chaos is going on and the protests are going on. Nobody has time to analyze that move very closely. And those that do analyze it, they can't even get covered. They also gut the State Department's ability to resist more extreme moves. That will have massive benefits down the road. Now, when the lawsuits filed by the ACLU inevitably succeed, they stay silent. Then, by not telling the Department of Homeland Security to abide by what the federal judge says, they can see what they do on their own. If they capitulate to the courts, they know that their power with the DHS is limited and they need to staff it with more loyal people. But if they continue enforcing the executive order until they tell them not to, ultimately, they've got the DHS they need and want. Ultimately, they know they can completely ignore the judicial branch later on, and the DHS will have their back. Next, they want to cut back on the unwanted 20% and let the green card holders in and pretend that that's what they meant all along. The protesters and the ACLU, both clamoring to display their efficacy, jump on the moment to declare huge victory, and the crowds dissipate. When the dust settles, they have 100% of the executive order they originally wanted, and they have tested the loyalty of a department they will need later on. They have proven they can ignore an entire branch of government, and they've slipped in some subtle moves that will make the next test even easier. There's no knowing how much of what they are doing is on purpose or accidental, but we can be smart in our reactions. We can take to the streets and stay outraged about the big things, but when we do, we need to pay close attention to everything that happens while this country is still clamoring over said big thing. And once they back off that 20% from the outrageous move, stay outraged. We need to find ways to hold the media's feet to the fire in this regard, too. We must keep telling ourselves that this is not normal and that we can do better and none of this is okay. If it seems okay, we really need to look deeper. Now, protests are one thing, and you know me. If you heard my last episode, I love protest, and I think they're very important. I think they're very important to raise morale. I think the presence is very important because protests look bad to the establishment. I think that the rest of the world needs to see us protest and let the rest of the world know that we are not okay with the status quo. We are not okay with the way things are. But we need to be the day after people. You know, a good friend of mine in this whole aftermath brought up the concept of being the morning after person or the day after person. It's not a matter of who shows up to the protest the day of. It's a matter of who shows up the day after and the day after that and the day after that. Who does the real hard work of making phone calls and working from a local level and trying to affect true policy change? We all need to be day after people now. We all need to stay in this game and keep our heads in the game. One of the ways you can do that is go to www.womensmarch.com and check out the 10 actions in the first 100 days. And in it, you can put in your zip code and it'll show you if there's any groups meeting for their next action, which is to form groups, basically. Now, they don't have as many groups formed yet as the Indivisible people do. Now, Indivisible is something that I plan to go into a lot more next week. But if you go to indivisible.com, you can read a little bit about what they're about. If you put in your zip code there, they have over 600 different groups that you could join one close to you and become a part of through Facebook. And they work on a local level, which is fantastic. So when something comes up on locally, you can get to City Hall or you know who exactly to petition and you have a local group with which you work and can go to meetings for or just hear things over Facebook with. So that's a few avenues for getting groups together, unless you want to form one of your own. And I highly recommend some sort of an initiative, mostly just to feel a little bit more in control. At least for me, it worked a lot. Okay, well now, as I promised, some of our victories. Because of us, the federal hiring freeze is reversed for the VA. Because of us, a court ordered a partial stay on the immigration ban for those with valid visas. Because of us, green card holders can get back in the country. Because of us, Uber pledged 3 million and immigration lawyers for its drivers after hashtag delete Uber trended on Twitter. Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, enrollment ads are still up on the air because of us. The ACLU raised $24 million over the weekend when they normally only raise $3 to $4 million because of us. The HHS, the EPA, and the USDA gag order has been lifted because of us. EPA climate data is no longer scrubbed from the website because of us. More people of different career, religious, economic, and race backgrounds are considering running for federal political office than ever before. Most importantly, since we live in a participatory democracy, the people are engaged. Senators have begun to oppose Trump confirmations. Republicans are beginning to break with Trump. Millions join the Women's March around the world. And while much more will be needed, sometimes you have to celebrate your wins. Stay vigilant, but also take self-care seriously. Activist burnout is a thing. This is a marathon, so don't sprint. But always resist.
Know your place. Shut up and smile. Don't spread your
keep quiet.
No, no, no.
twisted.
Let it out, let it out, let it out now.
Must be someone who understands.
Let it out, let it out, let it out now.
There'll be someone who understands.
Let it out, let it out, let it out now.